Hi, I'm Laura LaBelle, the host of The Impossible Job, a podcast about the misadventures in parenting that every parent goes through, regardless of who your family is. Not an expert, just a parent. The Impossible Job podcast is supported by Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com, the hometown advantage. Most folks who work here love living here. They care about the community. At Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com, they're proud to work with the hometown advantage around the clock, connecting local employers to local job seekers. Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com makes it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Post your job today on Richmond to DC HelpWanted.com. And if you're looking for a good local job, search jobs and apply online right now. Get the advantage of finding a job close to home at richmondtodchelpwanted.com. Local jobs that work. Hey, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. I am just getting over a cold, so if you hear me hacking in the background, I sincerely apologize, and I apologize to my guest.
Not a problem.
My guest today is Chris Brown. He is a physical therapist. He's actually the regional director of therapy at Mary Washington Orthopedics, and he's been there since 2004. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, like, who's in your family?
All right. Well, I have my bride of 18 years, Katie, and we have two boys, my 15-year-old son, CJ, Chris Jr., and my 12-year-old son, Jeremiah. You round out two cats and a bearded lizard, and that's our household.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you have the teens and the preteen.
Yes.
Wow. I'm like scared and oddly a little like jealous simultaneously. I'm jealous of like the freedom that I think you have. I'm not sure if you actually have it, but
yes, as my mother-in-law once told me, every phase of parenthood just it brings a new challenge and different phase and new things to love as well.
Yeah, because I'm kind of in the trenches of just like toddler dumb and little kid stuff, so it just kind of, I'm in a different forest, I guess. Same forest of parenting, just in a different section, I guess. So why do I have a physical therapist on this show? Well, Chris is actually my physical therapist, and it's because of a topic that I've wanted to talk about for a really, well, probably about as soon as I knew I was going to be starting this podcast. It's about diastasis recti. Chris, what is diastasis recti?
So diastasis recti is where you have a stretching or a separation in the rectus abdominis. The rectus abdominis is your six-pack abdominal muscle, so to speak.
Right.
And so there's this connective tissue that goes right down the middle of it, and that stretches and widens out.
And what kind of like problems can happen when that happens, when they like stretch out?
So obviously you start losing some of that abdominal strength in that regards. But the other part of it is you got to realize there's other layers of the abdominal muscles in there that lie underneath this rectus abdominis that are also getting stretched, and you lose some of the activation, the stability. And when you get into it, these abdominal muscles are a huge part of our core muscles that help stabilize our back and our pelvis and can lead to all sorts of different
important things that it supports.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Now, and then one of them, the whole reason that I really wanted to talk about this topic was what causes it. And I know one of the main things that causes it is pregnancy.
Yes. Yeah, so the baseline cause of it is protrusion or extruding belly.
Okay.
Now, it can affect men and women at any time, but the most obvious one and the most common time is during pregnancy and postpartum, because obviously the belly's growing, and then also during pregnancy, the body is releasing a hormone called relaxin, which in many ways, it's the design to help open the pelvis.
It relaxes.
Exactly. It relaxes the tissues that hold things together. including this connective tissue that holds the rectus abdominis muscles together so it can stretch out easier.
Right. Okay. So for most people, hopefully, it goes back though, right? Like after you're not producing that relaxin hormone, things kind of tighten back up. I mean, it takes time, obviously, but for most people, it goes back or...
Correct. Most of the time, it does go back without too much thought in it. And the reality is looking at it, there's research studies that show up to 70% of pregnant women can develop it to some degree. Mm-hmm. Some go down as low as 30%, but most of them are generally in that 50% to two-thirds actually have it happen during the pregnancy and postpartum, but most of them don't even realize it.
And two-thirds?
Yes.
That's actually not most people. That's a lot more.
Yes, so exactly.
Does like that number go up if you have more than one pregnancy?
Well, it depends on how
like
you went through.
Are you more susceptible to it
certainly,
if you have more than one pregnancy?
Yes.
Okay.
When you have multiple pregnancies or twins, you know, obviously, you know, those are some of the circumstances that put you more susceptible to it.
Okay. And that's what happened with me, with my second child. I ended up getting direct dye. But I didn't know it, but we'll get to that later. How many like patients do you have that come in that you're kind of trying to help them get that core strength back because they had direct dye?
Truthfully, I don't get a lot referred specifically for direct dye. Certainly in the history and when I'm working with women who have young children or certainly have recently had children and we're dealing with hips or pelvis or back issues, it's something that we're going into because we're going to be looking into this abdominal stability aspect.
So you're dealing more with women who probably had direct dye years ago, but they never knew it and now it's causing all these issues later down the road.
Correct.
Why do you think that is? Like, why do you think nobody knows about this?
I think it's because, one, like you said, a lot of times it does self-resolve, so it's not advertised so much. But this is also obviously a huge life-impacting time for mother and child and baby, and there's a lot of big events going on. Mm-hmm. But even more so, you know, during that time, being a father, a parent, and seeing this in my wife and my mother, you know, your emphasis isn't on yourself a lot of times. It's more about your child. And, you know, we don't always look at taking care of ourselves first, and we are focused on the child. That being said, the good old airplane and the oxygen masks that come down and they say to fix yourself first before those that you're responsible for, because you got to take care of yourself to put yourself in the best shape you can be in order to help and take care of our children. So, you know, I think it's something that should be more better known.
Right. So with me, I don't remember being told that I had direct dye. I actually heard it on like a podcast. Someone was on, they were talking about direct dye, and I was like, huh, okay. Because they said that it can cause, if you're doing the wrong exercises, it can cause like a pooch at the bottom that just never seems to go away. And just out of vanity's sake, I was like, well, let me see if I have it, and that's what I can blame my little pooch on. But sure enough, I did. And the way that they told us how to do it, and there's like all these YouTube videos that you can look up and see how to do it. But basically you lay down, you lift one leg up, and then you do like this mini crunch, and you can stick your fingers below your belly button. And if you can fit like one finger, two fingers, three fingers, four, so on and so forth, if you can fit more than two.
Correct.
And then you probably have direct dye. And it may require physical therapy, depending on how far along or how long ago you had your child. I mean, obviously, they have that like 6-week waiting period for you to do exercises and things like that for a reason.
Correct.
But yeah, my son was like 8 months old at that point. So yeah. Anyway, I had a 3-finger separation, and I checked, but I didn't really necessarily. Well, one, I didn't do anything about it because, yes, I was taking care of, at the time, a 3-year-old and an 8-month-old. But I always kind of just hoped it would go back together, and it it did not. And that's why eventually I had to come and see you. So are there other like ways or symptoms that might people might be able to check to see if they have diarrhea, if they think they do, or?
Well, you described the most common way for self-checking if they suspect so, and that is basically engaging those rectus abdominis muscles so that it makes it stand out more. And the way you described it is one, you know, they talk about just lifting the head up and the shoulders come up, the same thing, you're engaging those muscles. And you're feeling for it. It's a, you know, 2 finger or less width is considered normal. More than 2 fingers is when you start to go with a diagnosis. Now, I will say that it can occur above the belly button as well, although it is not as common as it is below the belly button. So it is good to check in both areas.
Does it matter like how deep your fingers can go?
The deepness isn't quite as matter as it is the width.
The width, okay. Shouldn't an OB be checking you for that? I mean, you go back to your OB for like your 6 month or your 6 week appointment, and then further out, then you have like a year. But I don't remember that ever being, I don't know if they checked it or if they did check it, they didn't tell me, but.
Sure, and you know, I'm sure there's some out there that do check and some that don't. And like we said, it's just not as accepted as a causal factor because, and I guess, you know, part of it does come back around to that the diastasis recti itself, you know, just in and of itself is generally in the medical population maybe looked more as a cosmetic issue than anything else. But, you know, again, being on the physical therapy side, you start to see the biomechanical aspect that it can imply and the issues that it can come on to the body the rest of the way.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I feel like if it's affecting 2/3 of women, I feel like that's something every woman should know, and it should be a bigger discussion, at least when you're talking to your doctors.
I do not disagree. I think that's why we're here.
So, I mean, so when I did find out, or I did realize I had it, and then later realized, like, oh, this could be why I have, like, lower back pain. Oh, this is why I'm having hip pain, and then further down the road, which is the reason I started coming to you, is because I started having really bad knee pain. And it wasn't for anything like traumatic. I didn't fall or anything like that. But it just, all these things are so connected to your core and you just don't realize how important it is for it to be like strong. So I get a little fired up when I
yes, absolutely, and that's that the core is literally the foundation that all your body's movements come off of. I mean, even your upper extremities move off of a stabilized core. You got to have that foundation, just like a house has to have a good foundation. Your body has to have a foundation for these other body parts to move on, and it certainly it affects the chain, the whole kinetic chain going down there, and it'll lead to the hip and all the way down to the knee and down the line the longer it goes. It's one of those things where you look at the picture of all the gears, and then there's that one gear that's just slightly off, and in the beginning it's not a big deal.
Right.
It's just a gear that's slightly off, but over time as those gears keep working, other gears start getting off, and then before long you got one big machine that's having problems.
You got one big mess, and that's what I'm dealing with. It's one big mess that I'm dealing with that I'm slowly, and over time, I'm going to correct. But again, it's going to take some time. But anyway, when you're thinking of like diarrhea, and when I was talking about like that little pooch, and there's like, I don't know, other people might think like a hernia.
Right.
What's the difference between like a hernia and having a diastasis recti?
Yeah, so it's very similar in bearing. So the diastasis recti, like we said, is a separating, a stretching of that connective tissue, whereas a hernia is not so much stretching. There's actually a tear through the fascia, through the connective tissue, which will then allow the internal organs can actually push through that tear through the abdominal wall and can become a very severe medical condition potentially.
Yeah.
Some hernias are perfectly okay as well and just have to be monitored as well. With the diastasis recti, that's one thing you don't have to worry about that because the inner abdominal wall is contained, so there's no concern on that regard.
Oh, okay. Can you get like hernias also from pregnancy
Absolutely.
And childbirth?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Okay. So. It's certainly not unheard of. You know, if you potentially have a small tear in that fascia, that connective tissue of your abdominal wall, as the abdomen grows, it's going to put more stretch on that, and that tear itself can become more. So, you know, certainly if there's any question on that, that is something you want to be proactive in bringing up with your OB.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So what should you do if you have directi? If you find out, if you do the test at home, or if your doctor even says, hey, you have this, but you know, you're kind of in this baby haze and you're just like, okay, yeah, great. And then you trying to get out of there. What, and then like a week later, when you actually start putting cognitive thoughts together, what's something that you should do?
So it's a little bit of don't do and do kind of thing. So obviously, being the physical therapist and me and what we've already talked about, I think it's very important to be retraining the muscles, especially the deeper abdominal muscles, which are called the transverse abdomini or transverse abdominis muscle. And, you know, the idea, this transverse abdominis muscle, instead of being the up and down like the six pack, it actually goes around your body, connects to the back, kind of like a corset, like a back brace does. And okay. That's exactly what it does. It helps hold things in. So you want to start training the muscles from the deeper part in, including the pelvic floor muscles, this transverse abdominis, to start tightening in that inner abdominal cavity to take pressure off.
So like Kegeling.
Correct.
So,
when I say pelvic floor, you're going to the Kegel.
Yeah. Okay. Because you do hear a lot about Kegeling when you're pregnant.
Yes. But, and that is, they do cover that quite well.
But I didn't realize this was a reason for it. I thought it was just so I wouldn't, you know, pee myself when I jumped after having kids. That's
right.
What I thought it was for.
Right.
But, which is a kind of a big deal. But I mean,
it is.
But I didn't realize that it was also to help with preventing or fixing directi.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
When it comes into it, that whole stability to let the directi settle down so it's not getting protruded and getting stretched on. But that core stability comes from the pelvic floor muscles, the transverse abdominal muscles, a little bit of the diaphragm, and actually some of the low back muscles kind of kick in there all together. So that's definitely part of what you want to look into. If you do catch the directi, like you said, in the first 6 weeks postpartum, you don't want to do anything too soon.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to start off doing exercises that target the rectus abdominis or the six-pack muscles, because that can actually make it worse if you don't have that internal stability first.
Yeah, that's what I was doing. So,
yes.
So when I heard I had, well, when I realized I had directi, I was like, okay, I didn't listen beyond that and realize that there were certain exercises that you probably shouldn't do. I just heard I need to build up my abdominal strength. So I was doing like the traditional crunches and sit-ups and things like that, which turned out to be the absolute, I don't want to say the worst thing, but
right.
I mean, not the best thing for it. You're
Correct.
Actually building them out when you should be like,
Correct, because you need
in.
That. You need that deeper, that
yeah.
deeper muscle holding it in first, and eventually, once you have that transverse good and strong, and the pelvic floor and that stability in there, then you can activate those muscles, and you can do some more of those traditional recti abdominal muscle exercises down the road. But you got to get that. You definitely have to get that internal stability first. You don't
do
it
be me, folks.
The wrong order. But the other thing too, in those early weeks, that is a time when they can say to use some of the bracing to help hold together if caught in the early stages in the first few weeks. And so there's a bracing that you can do, but it's not something you want to rely on long term.
Okay.
Again, because once you start strengthening the muscles, you want those muscles to hold you. You don't want an outside brace to hold you.
Okay. Gotcha. So the braces, you mean like the girdles that
Similar.
They have, like the C-section girdles type
cool.
things?
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That kind of idea. Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense. I actually used one. It wasn't, I don't know if it was for C-sections. It was just a postpartum like girdle, and I was told that it would just kind of help make you feel like things are back in its place in a way. And
right.
So, and it did, and it also did help alleviate some of the back pain that
Correct.
I was having. Okay.
And that's because it's given that stability, and it, and
right.
with the direct eye, it'll also help hold the rectus together a little bit to try and help make
Push
it,
it
not
together.
Be as much. Exactly.
Okay. I didn't use it a lot, but but when I did use it, it did help my back problems I was having. So, okay, that's good to know. But, I mean, don't count on those.
Correct.
You still have
That is short-term only because yeah. you really have to train the muscles. Because if you rely on it constantly, then your body trains to rely on it and not your muscles. So you actually weaken these same muscles that I'm talking about that we want to train. So, you know, in that time when we're not training them, that's first those first 6 weeks, it's a good tool to help get that stability. But after that, you got to get these other muscles trained.
Okay. So I feel like we've already kind of answered this question, but we can go into a little bit more depth. Can it get worse without treatment? Can your direct eye get worse? Like, so and obviously, like, we've talked about how it can cause other problems down the road in different, that can, you know, materialize in different ways. But, like, can the direct eye actually get worse? As it, like, can it get whiter?
Right. So, and that's a good question. So, generally speaking, the direct eye actually does not get worse. It doesn't necessarily get wider,
okay.
other than potentially, like I said, second pregnancies after you've had one and so forth. That could potentially, but generally the direct eye itself doesn't actually get worse. Like I said, it's more the sequelae that come later on if it's not addressed, the stability aspect, the functional component of it, that could get worse and cause other actions.
Okay. So, but with each like preceding pregnancy, it could, I mean, you could become like more and more unstable.
It's a possibility.
I mean, I had back pain at the end of my first pregnancy, but I honestly just thought that was, I mean, because I had a huge baby. But, I mean, Lucy was a huge baby. If this is the first time you're listening, I'll go ahead and tell you, she was 9 pounds.
Ooh, wow.
But if this is not your first time listening, then you've definitely known that because I tend to lament about it. And then as for my second pregnancy, he was bigger. He was 9 pounds, 10 ounces, and he was 2 weeks late and kind of had to get evicted. So, I mean, just maybe that added, the added weight, the added or the prolonged pressure. I mean, 2 weeks isn't like a huge amount of time, but I mean, when you're carrying a really big baby, it
sure.
is. So, okay, cool. So what are some exercises, like specific exercises that you can do to maybe relieve some of like the pain or the pressure or just kind of things to get things back where they belong?
Sure. So the good news is, because I checked this because I know when we were talking about this, everybody jumps right to Google. So I wanted to make sure. Sometimes there's good information. Sometimes there's not so good information
right.
when it comes
yes.
to medical. But there really is a number of good sites out there that go into it. The number one part, again, is just being aware that all the exercises that you do, you want to start by activating the Kegel contraction followed by your transverse abdominis contraction. So that's the most important thing, is knowing how to do that.
Right. Okay.
And so my suggestion for starting that is lying on the back where you can really kind of focus in on everything that's going on. And when you try to tighten the abdominal, you try to think of tightening from 360 degrees around, meaning from the sides as well as from the center coming in. And the example I give, and I can't remember if I said this, and I probably did it, but especially for parents, it works. It's when you're trying to tell someone to be quiet and you're going, shh, that motion of going, shh, actually is a good way of engaging that transverse abdominis. It actually will bring it
you
in.
You did not tell me this.
So
I just be laying on my back all day at home going, shh, to my kids. That'd be great.
So, but yeah, so doing that motion and focusing on squeezing in from like that corset motion as you do that is a good way to pull in the transverse abdominis. Then once you've got that, you can hold the Kegel contraction, you can hold that contraction, make sure you're not holding your breath. then there's lots of different variations, especially starting with leg movements and such that you build off of it. But yes, breathing is important for life.
Yes. Well, I hold my breath a lot and then when I'm doing like the exercises and I have to remind myself. Another thing that you talked about with me, at least, was posture.
Yes, of course.
I am like a champion schlumper, I guess, or I don't know, huncher. So like when you actually have good posture, what is that doing for your body, especially for your like core?
Well, I mean, so the good posture, obviously, is the most important thing, is putting everything in line the way it's supposed to be and the way it's meant to withstand forces. But even more specifically of this, when you are sitting taller, more erect, you can just imagine it's going to stretch things out vertically and it's going to make things line better up. Whereas when you slump down, everything's going to crunch down, mm-hmm. and including bulges, pouches and all that sort of stuff is going to push
pouches,
out as
it's
well.
Pouches, it's okay. You can say it. Pouches. Yes.
But yeah. So all of that will be more exaggerated when you're slumping or slouching.
Yeah. Because when I like, especially now, since I know you were going to be a guest, I've been trying to sit up straight in my chair.
You're doing well.
The whole time. But I do feel like, because when you elongate yourself, you kind of feel that you're sucking in a little bit. And when you suck in, I feel like it's coming from your lower abdominal muscles, which is where I am my weakest. So maybe that's why I feel it the most there. But yeah.
Yes, correct. And it's very interesting. I got, because when I did this, I got to throw my little side story.
Yeah.
They did, one of the PAs at our work told me about this. There was a study that they did of astronauts. And they always say the astronauts, when they come back, they're just a little bit taller. And they always assumed that it was the discs were, because of outside of gravity, were getting, were enlarging. And then when they came back into gravity, they compress. And what they found out, they did imaging in space and imaging down on Earth, and the discs are still the same size, but that the spine elongates more and brings them straighter because it's easier for their core muscles to hold them up there. And so it just goes to show that that's how the muscles have to work. When we're back down on Earth, gravity, unfortunately, gravity is against us, so we gotta fight it harder and it doesn't work harder on it.
Everything's against us on Earth. No, that makes sense. Yeah, because I used to be I remember sitting in your office with you and I was talking about this, and I actually think I broke down in tears just because I was so discouraged. But I used to be 5'10". And I am now like 5'8½", and I'm being generous, I think. But, and I always thought it was just, I didn't think it was because of osteoporosis or anything. I'm still a young 34 years old, but I honestly thought it was just because of my pregnancy and just like carrying two big babies, it compacted my spine or something. But it's not, it is and it isn't, but it's more just because of my slumping down and the way my issues, I push my pelvis forward.
Right.
And I think I did that a lot to help compensate all the extra weight that was in my front. But by doing that, like I pushed my spine in and then my shoulders down. And that's actually has caused my loss in my height. And I think, and the reason I broke down was because it was such a, I don't want to say it was like a wake-up call, but I mean, it kind of was in a way of just like how badly I've been treating my body and not realizing it. Like I hadn't been prioritizing my health and you don't necessarily think of like physical aspects as health. You think of like being sick or having like a cold or a virus or something like that, but like your health is also like the mechanical everyday things that you do with your body. So
exactly, and that's coming back around to why we didn't know that much about it, because we don't, as a society, we don't put that much emphasis into it. When we think about health, like you said, we think about sicknesses and that sort of stuff, but the reality is the physical health, a lot of times we don't think about it until it's causing us trouble.
Right.
Then you think about it.
And the reason that women probably don't talk about it is because we're strong as hell and we just exactly. You know, take on everybody's burdens. So I don't know. Yeah, that's just me. But so when you talk about like elongating, would like Pilates or something be really good for someone who has styrectomy? Just because that's like the essential thing with Pilates is it helps like strengthen but elongate those muscles.
Yes, most of them will be pretty good. You gotta be careful because some exercises, especially on the early side, if you haven't gotten that early deep muscle stability, you can go into what we're talking about of the crunches and such being too soon. So you gotta be careful that you don't get too advanced too quickly. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, Pilates is a great way of engaging that core strength.
Okay, so let's break it down. You find out you have diastasis recti. What should you do? You go to your OB and get like a referral or for physical therapy, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And then you go to physical therapy. Hopefully you do the exercises and you're better. If you're like me, though, and you wait 3 years, then if that's something you think that you if you're having like back pain or hip pain or whatever sort of like body pains and aches, should you still go to your doctor to get checked out to see if it's diurectomy, or is by then is it too late to find out? Does your abdominals, do they eventually just close back up, but they're still just super weak?
So the later it goes, the harder it's going to be for it to diagnose. Readjust. Well, and to come back too. Yeah, you know, we can get it so far, but at that same point, the functional stability of it and everything, you can actually regain that aspect. Should you get it checked out? I mean, at any point, it's absolutely worth getting checked out.
If you're having pain, go get checked. So okay.
And you know, I've seen some crazy things happen throughout my clinic, throughout my years of working in therapy. It's always, you know, you start and you work at it and you go at it. And like you said, the longer you haven't used these muscles, it's going to take longer to get them back going and built up. And you know, and that's part of it is, and you know, you're doing a great job. I know we've stretched it out, and because I know you're doing the exercise, so I don't. It's not so much about what you come into the clinic, and you know, sometimes you do once a week, twice a week, or three times a week, just based on what we're doing. But it's really about what you're doing every day, you know, on your own. You know, mm-hmm. We're gonna give you the tools and the exercises, and like I said, you've been doing a great job, so we've been able to give you some space and let you work on
that?
It for a while.
I'm doing a really good job, guys.
And it does take a while. You know, when you start a new exercise, as far as research goes, it takes 6 weeks of doing that exercise just to learn how the body to learn how to use the muscle fully to its full potential at its state. And then you got to start growing the strength from that point. So
right, because when I first started, there was, I don't know, there was something that you were having me do, and then you asked, like, well, can you feel it? And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't feel anything. But then at the end of, after, like, 2 or 3 months later, I did start feeling, and I could, like, correct what I was doing wrong. So I could get, like, an idea of what I was supposed to be doing. So I feel like that's really big progress for a pretty short amount of time when I was only going in. At first I was going like 2 times a week, but then once a week. So,
right.
I mean, that's still pretty good progress. And, I mean, small progress is progress.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Awesome. One step forward.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us about this very important topic. Cause it does, like you said, affect 2/3 of women who are pregnant. So, yeah, go to your doctors, get checked out. And if you are having any sort of pains, take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. Well,
you're more than welcome.
Again, thank you so much for coming on the show. And guys, if you enjoyed this episode, please rate, comment, and subscribe. You can follow us on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter @_impossiblejob. Or if you'd like to email me directly, my email is laura@wbqb.com. All right, everyone. Thanks so much. Bye.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed by the host and guests on this podcast are their own and not necessarily those of Centennial Broadcasting.